two of them hit me in the head and one of them on the arm. Well, I didn't spend a lot of time pondering about the cicada. And I don't think it has a great deal of Eucharistic significance other than the fact that it's quite mystical. It almost seems holy that no preacher can pull up out of the ground one time every 17 years. Stay for about 3 weeks, late, the new ones go back down into the ground and spend 17 more years. There's something mystical about that. It's mystery. And an additional factoid. This has happened about 118 times since Christ walked on the earth. Eucharist itself, as we see and hear in today's reading, is mystical and is a mystery. And when we celebrate it each week, it is a mystery. It's one of many mysteries that we have in our church, in our religion of Christianity. Resurrection, incarnation. It is a mystery. And so today we are celebrating the solemnity of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ, also known as Corpus Christi. It's been around for probably 700 years as a solemnity of the church. Right, and we have celebrated it for that long as a solemnity. Probably it's only been a few years, I think, that it's been the second Sunday after Pentecost. Many churches have processions, which they carry the monstrance that contains the body of Christ in it. Many of you may have participated in some of those processions. I think tomorrow morning, downtown, they're going to have one, and it will go to the cathedral of the Assumption. I'm a bit of a wordsmith, and by that I mean that I find it very interesting to find the definition and meanings of words and how they fit into the context of whatever body of writing that they fit into it, and how that context and the meanings affect the meaning of the whole body of writing. And with these readings this weekend, I think there are two that are especially meaningful, two words that are especially meaningful, and also there's an adjunct word as well. I come by my being a wordsmith fairly naturally. I grew up with a mother who was an English teacher, and I married a woman who was an English teacher. And occasionally, I get the opportunity to correct for a grammar that she would never admit it. She wouldn't admit it. The two key words that I'm talking about in these readings, and they are very prominent in both the first reading from Exodus and in the Gospel. They're also alluded to in the second reading from Hebrews. Those two key words are covenant and ratify, or ratification. And the adjunct word is blood. In each of those readings, the first reading from Exodus and in the Gospel, they have a great deal of meaning. Meaning sort of grows over the years from the time of the first reading in the Old Testament and the Old Covenant to the time of Christ in the New Covenant. The Old Covenant, the meaning of the words covenant and ratification, sprinkled on the people. And that blood was the substance that represented the ratification of the covenant. It brought them together and gave the covenant meaning. Meaning being that God, as part of the covenant, means that it's an agreement, a solemn, binding agreement. God would love his people and protect his people and care for his people, and in turn, the people would love God, would obey God, and would serve God. That was the covenant, the old covenant. The new covenant, of course, the one that's celebrated and we read about in the gospel today, and Jesus fed his apostles at the Last Supper. New covenant, still the element is blood, but this time the blood's not sprinkled. It's Christ's blood which is shed. And the covenant is that when Christ shed his blood, he did away, washed away all of our sins. All of the sins that we had from the old covenant were washed away. And at the same time, Christ gave us the possibility, all people, new covenant applied to all people, new and everlasting covenant, as it said in the Mass, applied to all people. He gave us all the opportunity to go to the kingdom of heaven and be with God. The old covenant ceased at the beginning of the new covenant. Covenant is everlasting, it is eternal. Another interesting part about this that is contained in the second reading is a sort of a lesser to a greater analogy. The lesser being the old covenant, and it applied the priests of the old covenant would go into what was called the Holy of Holies in the temple. They were the only ones allowed to go into it. They would sort of renew the old covenant from time to time. And they would wash away all the sins of the people while they were in there, of the priest and of the people. When Christ died for our sins, he washed away all the sins of the old covenant once for all, one time. It never had to be done again. The old covenant they went in from time to time and they did. What does all this mean for us today? Well, the best description, definition that I found for that, to answer that question, came from the Ignatian Study Bible. Ignatians, these Jesuits. And the answer that they had to that question was the gift of Christ's humanity in the sacrament. That is, sacrament. At the Last Supper, when he took, broke, blessed, and gave his body and blood to his apostles. And also, every time we have Mass, the priest, in the person of Christ, reenacts what Christ did at the Last Supper. He takes, blessed, breaks, and gives Christ's body to us. It's part of the consecration. He does that. That is the consecration. The gift of Christ's humanity in the sacrament is inseparable from his self-offering on the cross. Since together, the two constitute a single sacrifice in which Jesus is